just when you thought it was safe to go in.
Come on, let's go in. It's safe.
But what about the imps?
Just when you thought you had nothing to worry about.
Imps in a hospital? Don't be ridiculous. We've got nothing to worry about.
Just when you thought it was going to be fine.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably fine.
It wasn't. This March, the imps are back. And also, so are the Thundermen.
I think we can make it out alive.
I don't know if we will make it out alive.
Oh, come on. Let's see if we can make it out alive.
See if they can make it out alive in Mission Imp Hospital 2. Unfinished Business.
So, when last we left our heroes, they had just finished cleaning out the first floor of the new hospital in Last Hope. Now, you guys, you've cleaned it out. What's your next step?
I would love to just kind of kick it for a bit. We're in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
And my hit points have been better. So I would kind of like to chill if we could.
Yeah, you guys could take a short rest. There's no reason you got to do this in one fell swoop.
I'm going to take one of those short rests. Y'all can join me or you can do push-ups.
No. I'm short rest. Let's spend a little together time. Let's talk to each other.
Well, I mean, wait, before we do that, it's been a couple weeks now. Maybe people are binging this and it's just back to back. Where is everyone at hit point-wise?
Well, thanks for asking, Travis. I'm at 23 out of 38.
Okay.
Not too bad.
It's not too bad, but I'd like to goose it a little bit in case we run into Ganondorf or whatever the fuck.
I'm at 27 out of 27.
Nice.
Because I got healed by the Firbolg, right?
Yeah, yes. You're a healthy fella. That's a 10 plus con. I healed for 12. That's fine. I'll just
listen.
One hit
don't just sit there and roll. Tell me what you're doing. I'm painting pictures for you.
Sure.
The
sure,
least
sure.
You could do.
I think I just sit at the reception desk, right in the middle of the room that we just finished like clearing out. And the room's kind of a mess. And I just kind of chill. I think my latent sort of glowing skin stuff kind of fades as the thrill of battle pauses for a moment, and just kind of catch my breath. Hands on my knees, just doubled over, kind of doing some deep breathing.
And are y'all just like sitting there in silence, just like staring at each other and doing, I guess, deep breathing?
I think Argo's handing out some snacks. I think he brought some snacks.
What
like
kind?
His fish jerky. His mom used to make fish jerky all the time. And whenever he eats fish jerky, he thinks about his mom, and I think he wants to share that with you guys. I think he'd say, this is a shabby keen special here. It's cod, actually. Cod jerky. And tell me what you think, because I can't take a bite of this without thinking about me mom. So here, have a bite and see if it makes you think.
Can I make a fortune roll to see how tasty it is? I got a nat 20 on the tastiness roll.
You love it.
I've never loved anything as much as this in my life.
There have been worse uses of a natural 20.
I can't think of it off the top
but,
of my
yeah,
head.
Yeah, but to make fish tasty is maybe the worst one I've ever heard.
I yell, alerting every imp in the building. Damn! This is good jerky!
Oh, my mom would be pleased to hear you say that. What? How about you, Firbolg? You wanna try a little bite?
Yeah. Yes. The flavor is present.
Beautiful.
Is there any way you think maybe we could get the original recipe and sort of slap the Thunderman brand on this? Thinking like Thunderman's Sea Feast or something like that.
It is a very wise idea for a small business farming production out to a co-packer. is a wonderful way to improve margins and increase quality of product.
Yes, it's hard for me to get in the space to play when I'm just so fucking impressed at my brother Justin's economic study that he has been doing IRL in order to play this student of economics IRG. I'm proud of you, Justin.
Thanks, Griff. You've never said that out loud, so I'm glad it's recorded.
Well, I'd agree to that idea as long as we could maybe name it after my ma, because, you know, she was a very important part of my life.
Thunder Mom! Thunder Mom.
We will do some market research to see how your mom tests.
Thanks, I think. What about your moms? Do you guys have fond memories of your folks?
This short rest is turning into a bit of a bit of.
Come on! I'm just curious.
I did have a mother. She was no different to me than the rest of the clan.
Oh. And the rest of the clan treated you okay?
It was for a time.
Memories, huh? What about you, Fitzroy? What about your folks?
The house where I grew up, Argo, it's, I don't like to flaunt it, but it was large enough that I would go days without seeing either of my parents, and they would frequently sort of travel from villa to villa, or villa, as they would say it, when being
villa, villa, villa.
yes, it was a wonderful relationship, I guess we had. I never received jerky, but I did receive a fortunate upbringing.
What is the name of your mother?
Why, it's funny you ask.
I cannot imagine the reason that would be the case. Is she Firbolg? Huh? She had no name?
That would be quite a wild twist, wouldn't it, my Firbolg friend?
I would have known. This was a silly question.
Her name was Dindra.
Mm. Dindra. Did you get your magic powers from her or from your dad?
I mean, I'm half elf. We just sort of have it going on, you know? Sometimes, I guess I have it going on, but it's like I could draw you the Punnett square. Magic is, you know, usually recessive. I've apparently got it just chock full, huh?
Please, tell me more of Dindra. All that you remember.
Well, she had a big purse that she would keep gum inside. For me, I remember the good gum. And I would always say this about Dindra. She is going to have gum for you. And
what was the flavor of gum in your memory?
Hot mint. Hot mint.
Hot mint.
That spicy mint that all the kids love.
You cannot canonically create hot mint.
She would. I would say, Mommy, I want some gummies, please. And she would root around in her purse, moving aside various jewels, gems, amulets, golden pieces.
Omelets?
Amulets. And she would find me a piece of hot mint gum, and I would chew on it for days.
Travis has just texted me a picture of his outline, and the weirdest thing is, at the beginning it says, 10 minutes about fish and moms.
Yep.
Cool.
Fish and gum. We've got a whole side business here.
Fish and moms?
fish and gum.
Oh, I see. So your short rest has come to an end, unless you want to just go ahead and make it a long rest and, I don't know, camp here in the hospital for a couple days.
I actually am rested. I do not think I can make up any more shit. So the rest of the episode, I'm just going to be hitting stuff.
Yeah.
Because that really taxed me to my limit of narrative development.
Right behind the reception desk is a set of stairs leading up to the second floor.
We do that.
You reach the top of the stairs. This floor is less decorated than downstairs. It is far less finished, though the construction is more or less done. You can tell that the finishing touches haven't been put on. There's not as many working lanterns. There's none of the, you know, kind of generic art one might see in a hospital. Some sort of almost obscure saxophone where you think, I think that's a saxophone, but why does it look like that? And you see several toolboxes and containers of building materials lining the walls. And I would like all three of you to make a perception check, please.
13 plus 5. No, that's persuasion. If only. 2. 15.
6 plus 6 for me, a 12.
1 plus 1.
Oh, boy.
Yikes.
My dirty rolls are back.
Well, Argo, as you make your way up the stairs, your lantern that you were still carrying from the first floor just doesn't quite shine well enough on the top step, and you're going to stub your toe and take one damage.
Damn, DM, that was fucking savage.
Listen, that was a nat one, and I'm not going to let you guys just nat one left and right with no repercussions. But... Fitzroy, you see, with your shades of gray vision, you see an imp, tentatively peeking from behind one of the tool chests, and you can tell with your keen half-elven eyes, that he appears more nervous, and non-threatening than any imp you've seen so far.
Okay. And this is out in the hallway, this tool chest?
This is up in kind of the main floor. Instead, the first floor that was separated, you know, second floor, it's all rooms along the perimeter of the floor, and the middle is basically wide open.
Okay. I take some of that fish jerky, and I just, you know. Hey, little bud. Hey, little bud. You want some of this? It's a sea feast.
Is that, hey buddy, is that the fish jerky?
It is, yes. Oh, I'm so delighted that you've decided to talk to me instead of turning into some sort of poison hawk.
Oh man, is that fish jerky for me?
It is fish jerky, the beef of the sea, and it can be if the price is right.
Oh buddy, that's so nice. It's nice to be offered the beef jerky, buddy.
So come on over, pal. Let's have a chat, me and you.
Are you going to attack me when I come over there?
That is not my style, no.
Can you promise that those other fellas aren't? That one's a big fella.
Oh, the big fella you don't have to worry about. He's a peach.
Oh, what about the blue guy? Blue guy going to attack me?
Not if you don't bite him.
Okay, I wouldn't bite, buddy.
Don't say anything cross about the jerky either.
Oh, I heard you yell about the jerky. I bet it's great. And he, why don't you make a persuasion check?
Now we're talking. 10 plus 5, 15.
Oh, yeah. He makes his way tentatively over. Still keeps a little distance, but he does take a piece of the jerky and he yummies down on it. And you can tell he enjoys it. You know, buddy, imps don't normally eat, but I enjoy this jerky. This is good. You could sell this.
You don't normally eat, you said?
Well, I'm a conjured being from, you know, Ichor and kind of nothingness, and so I don't need to eat. I guess I should say I do eat, you know?
Hey, speaking of, where did you come from, necessarily? That may be difficult for you to...
Oh, buddy, I'd love to tell you, but I get in trouble, buddy, if I tell you.
Oh, but I'm your jerky friend.
Oh, is that what I should call you, jerky friend?
Yeah, I'm your little jerky boy, aren't I?
Oh, jerky boy. My name is Ian.
Ian.
It's spelled weird. It's got a lot of weird characters in it, and it's very
impish, but it's still pronounced Ian.
Okay, traditionally there's only three letters in Ian, so there's not much room to hide.
Oh, buddy, there's like 16 in imp version.
Okay, so yeah. Listen,
most of them are kind of like you know, ampersands and asterisks and stuff, but it's pronounced Ian.
Here's the thing, imp busting make us feel good.
Oh,
and
no!
So we did that downstairs a lot, but like. We only did it because you guys were causing some trouble. We don't, like, want to do it. So, like, we just want to know where you came from so that this sort of intersection, this kind of, like, you know, collision, this unwanted visitation doesn't happen again.
You know, you destroy my friends and stuff. You don't want to do that anymore.
No, I don't. I just want to know where you all came from.
Oh, buddy. See, I used to make trouble. But I don't want trouble. I don't want trouble. Recently, I've rethought all of my life decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you guys smash the downstairs boys so good.
Yeah,
I don't want that
him.
Trouble. And I'll make you a deal. Mm. You let old Ian go, buddy. I no more make trouble. And I'll tell you what you want to know. We'll be buddies. I'll go away. I'll do good things.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Can I roll an insight check to see if he's fucking lying to me?
Okay.
That's a nat one. Son of a... Gun.
You can't tell.
Yeah, I'll say.
You can't tell nothing. You don't even know if you're lying to you.
That's, I mean, there's an element of truth to that, Travis.
Isn't it?
I feel like, here's where I'm coming from. It's our job to bust all the imps, right? We were hired to treat the symptom. But like, this is a part of a pattern, I feel like, of just weird shit happening around here. What with the holes to other planes of existence and... reports of demons in the woods. So, like, if this is tied to that, I just am trying to sort of piece it together a little bit.
I have... Argo has horrible insight, terrible wisdom, and not very good perception.
I mean, you don't have to dump on yourself, Dad. Like, you're good at a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, don't... Hey, buddy.
Yeah, I could sneak attack him, but that's going to completely... derail your efforts.
Yeah.
It wouldn't occur to me. Let's move on. It wouldn't occur to me to double check.
Okay, buddy. Hey, Jerky boy, you a good friend. And thanks. I trust you. I see kindness in your eyes.
Oh yeah, it's there.
You have kind eyes, Jerky boy.
Thanks. Your eyes have worms in them, kind of.
Oh no, that's just an illusion, but thank you.
So we must move on.
Okay.
Where are you from? Where did you come from? What's going on?
Well, because I trust you, I tell you, I'm going to get in trouble. My boss finds out, I'm in trouble. But I tell you, you give me jerky, you're nice to me. We were sent here. We were conjured, sent here. We was told to distract three idiots. But luckily, you guys came along, and you here, and you saw them. So I don't know what happened to those idiots, but now you here...
Distract us from what?
I don't know. Tell me. Just sent here, say, you know, keep three, you know, real nincompoops. Keep them out of my hair. But I'm not the boss. Nobody tell me that. I got this secondhand from my boss, buddy.
And who said it? Who said these things?
To my boss?
Yes.
I don't know. My boss's boss.
Who's your boss?
Listen, I am just a pawn in Game of Life. You know, I don't ask questions. I don't make waves. You know, just trying to make it to retirement.
Okay. Just one last question. If we do find and vanquish your boss, mm-hmm. do you just kind of disappear? Or how's
No, you know, I'm going to last as long as I stay alive. And I don't want to work for boss no more. I'm going to get into artisanal cheese.
Okay.
That's what I've decided. That's my new thing.
I've never done
it before, but I just feel in my heart I'll be good at it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. I'm going to hit you up, actually. Let me get your business card, and we'll have ourselves a cheese talk.
One more thing, buddy. If you run into Terry, that's my boss, don't listen to a word that guy said. He a liar.
Okay.
Okay. Bye.
Bye,
and
Ian.
Ian the imp goes out the balcony doors, turns into a raven, and flies away.
That dude was cool.
I'm going to detect magic.
Okay.
up here.
Does your skin glow, or maybe your hair turns into different elements or something?
In a regular non-showy way.
Oh, okay.
A non-bioorganic.
What are you looking for? What would you like me to describe?
Magic.
Magic? There's magic everywhere, my dude. There's...
All right, ICP. No, I mean, like, where am I sensing magic from? Any strong magic vibes? This is called detect magic.
Does your detect magic break it down into different kinds of magic or just some magic?
I sense the presence of magic within 30 feet of me. If I sense magic in this way, I can use my action to see a faint aura around any visible creature or object in the area that bears magic and learn its school of magic, if any.
It is different kind of from mine, I think. Yeah.
And to remind the listener, we're up here. We see basically 10 doors in a sort of three-quarter circle around us from where we've arrived.
Ideally, we won't have to go into all 10 of them.
Well, the good news is that these rooms are quite smaller than the ones downstairs. These are more like, you know, individual, sleep on this bed, wait for a doctor to come. They're not quite as large as a admin office or doctor's office or even the exam rooms. You do sense magic, but the problem is that the imps have kind of been coming and going so much that you're getting a lot of cross signals. There's definitely some doors where, like, you can feel magic. Think of it this way. Like, if you were in a restaurant and you tried to smell food, you would definitely smell food stronger from the kitchen. But you would kind of get a foodie smell pretty much in the air. But you can definitely sense that there are some rooms where it's stronger than others, and maybe some trails that are fresher than others.
Okay, I'm just going to open the door to room one.
Okay.
How about that?
When you open the door to room one, you find a fist-sized spider sitting in the middle of the floor.
I close the door to room one.
We aren't being paid to squish spiders.
I will not fuck with the spider.
Let me ask you guys this. And I say this with all the love and respect as professional storytellers and game players. In the last 2 weeks, have you done any research on imps whatsoever?
No, Travis, because Fitzroy wouldn't have.
How about Fitzroy, you give me an Arcana check, or anyone can make an Arcana check.
That is an 18 minus, probably, yes. No, plus one. 19.
Okay. Fitzroy, you know of imps. You did a little research before coming here. You looked in a tome or two, and you know that imps are magical shapeshifters. And
I remember.
Not only can they turn into ravens, they can also
turn into
spiders.
Big spiders. Okay. Did you find one, fella?
It was a spider.
Yeah, but it's probably an imp, right?
It was a spider.
Okay.
Said the shapeshifter.
Well, either way, let's get in there. I don't think the hospital
this
administration...
Your friend has raised an excellent point. It is probably imp, now that I think on it.
I have a suggestion, then. Why don't we go back? You open the door. Did he see you when you opened the door, Furbolg? Did he even react?
Yes, he turned around and said, "Oh my, Fearbog, I have seen him."
All right, let's go back in, and he'll see you again and gets distracted, and then I can sneak attack him.
From how does the physics of this work?
We just walk.
You'll slide between my legs.
Well, no, I think I would just. I'm an extremely stealthy guy, and I have something called sneak attack.
Right. I think
it does say it does say sneak right on the tin, though.
I mean, So just to really hammer down the physics of the actions that are about to take place, the Fearbog will open the door. The spider will look at the Fearbog. Dad, for some reason, will sneakily from directly in front of the spider push past the Fearbog and sneakily attack him.
Perhaps the word to use instead of snake would be surprise. It's going to surprise.
It's going to surprise his balls off, probably, for sure. Let's do it. All right, the Fearbog throws open the door.
Spider, I am returned. I am sorry for misjudging you.
Okay.
Sneak attack! All right, here we go.
Okay, roll okay, that
D20. So Argo kind of slips around the edge of the room and goes around the Fearbog and stabs him with his rapier.
Okay.
That's a 15 plus 6. That's 21.
Oh, yeah. That hits. So roll your regular damage first, and then we'll do the sneak attack damage.
That is a 5 plus 4. That is 9. Sneak attack, I deal an extra 2d6 damage.
Yep.
That's right. So 9 already. And there's a 5 and...
14.
A 4.
18.
Well, Jesus. Yeah, you skewer him real good. And, you know, it kind of does a bleh, and then melts into just a spider-shaped puddle of black ichor.
Avast ye! Oh, he's already dead. I actually should have said the event. But then it wouldn't have been a sneak attack if I yelled out Avast ye.
Well, it still wasn't a
sneak attack if you think about it.
So I wouldn't have been. No. So I gloat.
Do we notice anything else in the room?
No, you can see that it is nearly finished. As you know, there's a kind of basic cot bed. There's some drawers, but they have not been filled yet.
Travis, I'm about to close the door to this room for all eternity and relevance, for all of existence, for every human being that has ever or will ever lived. A simple no will be fine.
Fair. I'm trying to paint a word picture, Justin.
You're painting a word picture that I'm about to throw in the toilet forever and ever.
Fair enough.
Room 2.
Fair enough.
Room 2.
Can I just suggest we just do that 9 more times?
This is the plan.
All right.
Room 2 is empty.
Sneak attack!
Well, okay.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I gotta wait. Sorry, it's right. Yeah, sorry.
Empty and undecorated. Now, I will say, Fitzroy, with your previous Arcana check about information about imps, they can turn invisible.
Hmm. Sure. There may be invisible imps in here, so make sure you sneak attack just every square inch of the room, okay, partner?
Well, and it doesn't really work like that. That's not sneaky.
Well, I think the last play was a little bit also unsneaky, but let's just
Let me try something. Little deception. I'm going to try a little deception.
Okay.
I'm going to say out loud, "Wow! These imps are so easy to kill. That last one I skewered, it screamed, it cried, it was hilarious."
Roll a deception check for me.
Well, it's not really deception. He did do it.
I guess that's true. Performance check.
Performance? Yeah.
Roll a performance check for me.
17 plus 2, that's 19.
That's a solid performance. Nothing happens, but your performance is so solid that you know that had an imp been in here, it definitely would have reacted.
Room 3.
Now, when you get to room 3, the door sticks a little bit.
I push it harder.
Make a dexterity saving throw for me.
Uh-oh. All of us are just...
Just the Fearbog.
18.
You're very lucky. You are able to dodge out of the way, as you can see that imps had kind of piled some building materials against the door. So as you opened the door, it falls outwards, but you are able to dodge out of the way at the last second.
Nice try, you stupid imps.
Is there anything else of note in the room?
No.
Room 4.
Now, when you open room 4 contains an imp using a model skeleton as a shield. you will be at disadvantage on attacks.
I mean, it's a model skeleton, right?
Yeah.
I but attack he's a the little guy. I say, I'll do this one. Sneak attack! And I attack the model skeleton with my maul.
You have sneak attack too?
Sure, if this is what we're calling it. I sneak attack the heck out of him.
If we're not doing a surprise attack, let's roll initiative.
Oh, I mean, I am trying to do a surprise attack. I think that's jumping into the room. And
he's ready. He heard Argo yell over in room two.
Yeah, that's fair.
18 plus 2, 20.
6 plus 6, 12.
4 plus 2, 6.
Hey, do I get my spell slots back on a short rest or a long rest?
Short rest. You get them back.
So up first in the order is the Firbolg.
Yeah, man.
Grip it's it. And whoop
fuck
ass.
Yeah, dude.
Grip and rip it.
Yeah, grip and rip that shit
do it,
up.
Slam
buddy.
It. What is that, Brewski? Miller time? Huh?
Can't whoop ass. I'm about to open on this guy.
Oh, yeah. Kick that ass. Whoop it.
I am going to do cast Ice Knife.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to cast Ice Knife. I'm going to throw an Ice Knife at this imp.
Okay.
It's going to be kick ass. I create a shard of ice and fling it at a creature. I'm going to make a ranged attack against a target. That is an 17 plus 2.
Okay.
19.
And roll again because you have disadvantage because of his skeleton shield.
Well, that's a 3 plus 2, 5.
Listen, that ice knife looks real cool. And it knocks the skull off the skeleton, but it does not hit the imp.
Nice, dude. You killed the skeleton in one hit.
Chill out.
Nice, nice try, bone monster. Not going to steal my bones today.
Your giant imp exoskeleton will not save you, tiny skeleton.
So
the true foe is the skeleton.
Okay. So the imp, while trying to, maintain his, skeleton shield is just going to kind of reach out and try to take a swipe at you, with his little clawed hand. That is a 16 versus AC, and this is against the Firbolg.
Yeah, it's fair. It's 12 armor class for me, so.
Okay, and we're going to do 1d4 plus 3. that is 5 points of damage, and he's not stinging with his tail, so there's no poison associated.
Great.
And up next is Dad.
Argo is going to cast... yeah, you heard me. He is going to cast Create Water and make a 20-gallon cube around the imp to drown it.
Let me ask this. Like that play, but does
why?
Well, hold on. Does create water allow you to make it hold its shape?
When you create water, you create up to 10 gallons of clean water within range in an open container. Alternatively, the water falls as rain in a 30-foot cube within range, extinguishing exposed.
So you're going to drown him with rain.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good spell, good magic, good times, good buddies. Love this.
Hold on.
Love this. But hey, Mac, just make him look straight up for several hours with his mouth agape.
He also has shape water. So I can shape
it spells.
And freeze it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me start again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, No, I got this. He creates water in a 10-gallon cube above the imp, and then he freezes it.
Well, now, these are two different spells. You can't do them both on your turn.
Okay.
We can't all be magic boys.
I think
but I have
created
magic.
A cube of water above him, and let's just see where it goes from there, because I think that's powerful, and I love the initiative.
Thank you, Justin.
Okay, there's a cube. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know what happens when you get a 10 gallon cube of water dropped on you, but it ain't good.
Yeah.
It's going to be 20, and it's 20 gallons.
You can only do 10. You said so.
No. At a higher level, you can do 20, and this is above level 2.
So you're going to burn so what level spell slot are you burning on this cube? This fucking flash dance reenactment you've got going on.
Second level. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Well, that's the level below third and above first. Dad just dropped a children's swimming pool onto an imp. What happened? What happens, DM?
Well,
leave us a spell.
I looked it up, and 1 gallon of water weighs 8 pounds. So this is about 160 pounds. So I'm going to make a strength saving check to attempt to stay on my feet. And that fails, so it does knock him prone.
Fucking yes. You got him, Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, bud.
And now, Griffin, you are up.
Okay.
And so, because of the knocking prone, it has knocked the skeleton away. That did successfully remove his skeleton shield.
What just happened, Argo?
Hell if I know. I have magic too. I have one freaking spell.
I said earlier that was a cantrip. I was incorrect. Shape water is a cantrip. Create or destroy water is a spell slot, and you only get one of those.
Yeah, so. it's a racial spell, right? And so you can do it once a day or something like that.
Yeah, once per long rest.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to come up again, to be honest.
We're all still pretty far from this imp, right? We're not like within like melee range of it.
You easily could be 1 or 2 steps forward.
Okay, well, I take steps forward. I was more asking that it wasn't within range of the other two, because I'm going to cast Booming Blade, or Booming Maul, I guess, in this case, where I make a melee attack action against a creature with my weapon of choice, which is the Maul. 12 plus 6, 18.
That hits.
Okay. And I roll damage as normal. So that's 2d6 plus 4. 2. 6. It's 8 plus 4, 12. And then this may be unnecessary because I don't know how many hit points this bad boy has. But,
not a lot.
Okay. The target suffers the attack's normal effects and becomes sheathed in booming energy until the start of my next turn. If it moves away from me, it immediately takes 1d8 thunder damage.
Oh, I like the idea of I'm surrounded by booming energy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Boomer. Am I right?
I just blasted a Vuvuzela in this dude's face.
Yeah. Oh, and listen, you squish him into I-Core, and the I-Core is surrounded by booming energy.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, next time, that's going to be totally strategic and rad. That goo's not going anywhere.
Indeed.
Hey, gang, team effort. All three of us did great stuff in there.
Well...
He decapitated the bone snatcher. You dropped
you guys kind of jumped ahead, but that was going to be the ultimate bad guy of the entire campaign.
Yeah, I know.
It turned out that skeleton was the bone snatcher who has kind of been behind it all.
Right.
So he solved it.
Yeah. Okay. Room
but
five.
You just
baby.
Jumped ahead a little. I only had like one more episode planned.
Okay, cool.
Perfect.
So I was thinking next time we could do like a spaceship arc.
Yeah. Room five?
Yeah. Room five appears to be empty.
I'm going to make a perception check because I don't believe this fucking horseshit. That's an 18.
That's some good percepting.
6.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you see the shit out of everything. You see, like, tastes. You see smells. You can tell this room is untouched. There is no footprints. Nothing is out of place. And you can make a pretty confident, educated guess that there is not and has never been an imp in this room.
Room 6.
Inside this room, you find 2 imps. One is eating cotton balls and tongue depressors, and the other is gleefully playing with the model of the human mouth, pretending to make it talk.
Have they seen us?
When the door opens, they are aware of your presence.
We should be sneakier next time.
What does it look like this room is?
It's just another one of like the kind of hospital rooms. Come here, stay, hang out. We'll check on you.
Okay.
Convalescing room. I don't know what they're called. Hospital room.
Do we need to roll initiative? I would act pretty much immediately, but I don't know who you're actually.
Well, you are up first, so
yeah.
The fear bug is up in initiative. We'll keep the same initiative so we don't have to roll every time.
I will cast Moonbeam on these bad people.
It worked so well last time.
It did. It worked very well last time. And we cast that as a second level spell.
So do they need to make saving checks? Is that it?
Constitution saving throw.
Not their strength. 14. Nope. Okay. They both failed, even with magic resistance. They both rolled dog shit. So they're going to take full damage.
Okay. That damage is 8 plus 4, 12.
Oh, yep. Yeah. They both melt into Ichor, and even with the power of the moon. What?
I'll describe it.
Okay, yeah, you do it.
He puts out his hand and casts a spell and turns around without looking back and says, Room 7.
Yeah, and I guess then the moonbeam, it's a really cool action movie moment. The crowd is going nuts. One guy went out to get a popcorn refill, and he hears the cheer, and he comes back and is like, what? And they're like, you had to see it. And then he has to like check, you know, online and see if he can find like a YouTube sure. clip of it, and he can't.
He should have used Run P.
Yeah, should have used
Run P. You got to pick the right moments. So Room 7.
In Room 7, the roofing
can is... I don't want to walk into the room again like we did this time. I want to send Snippers in there with a sort of stealth drone
Ooh.
Maneuver. Because we have a sort of telepathic link. So I want to try and squish him under the door.
Oh, yeah. You can kind of cast him. You put your hand up against the base of the door, and you can kind of cast him in there.
Okay. I telepathically tell him, be sneaky. Be like the wind, my boy. Like the wind, yeah. We trained for this. What do your crab eyes see?
No imps. But there is some kind of creature in here, but it is not imp-like.
What's the creature in there, Snippers?
It's up high, and he can't quite get a look on it. It's hidden in the rafters.
What kind of pie?
What?
What kind of pie is it?
Okay, this is alarming, because I don't know if Dad's being serious or not, and if he is being serious, then he's got a wild brain. He's got like some real what's the Wimpy from Popeye brain sort of situation. Did someone say pie?
He can tell you it is a bird-like creature. It is a bird creature. It's a bird.
Okay.
But it does not appear to be a raven like the previous ones.
Okay. Well, thank you, Snippers. Yeah, let's go on in there then. It's just a bird.
In Room 7, the roofing is incomplete. You see the bird that Snippers described sitting at the edge of the unfinished roof. However, as you have learned, the bird is not a raven like the ones you have encountered so far. This appears to be some sort of hawk and shows no signs of attacking. And you can also see that in its beak, it holds something shiny. When it sees you, Fitzroy, it drops the object, cocks its head at you, and flies away.
What did he drop? Can I see it?
The object is an ornate brooch.
Oh, kick ass. Snippers, touch that for Daddy.
he does and nothing happens.
Cool, I grab it.
Your hand explodes. No, it's just a regular pretty brooch.
Okay. Hey, guys. Found this kick-ass brooch. So that's all right. This job's paying big dividends.
I have the perfect name for it.
Okay.
Roommate.
Inside, well, do you want to do some checks again?
Didn't you say in the last episode that the moonbeam extended up?
Yeah, but we're on the top floor, right?
the second floor. Yeah. Did it not? Oh, that's what I thought you were getting at last week when you said the moonbeam went up into the next floor. That, to my calculations, that would have been, wouldn't that have been room 8 and 9?
Maybe.
I'm just going to open the door to room 8.
Room 8 appears to be used as a temporary storage room until construction is complete. Inside, it is all healing stuff. You find 3 healer's kits, as well as large crates of cotton balls, tongue depressors, lollipops, and it also contains several potion ingredients and magical components.
I mean, I want a lollipop.
What are the potion ingredients?
You see several leaves that you would need to identify. You see some hunks of moss. You see a couple feathers from magical creatures. A couple vials of blood. You see a couple vials of different elements. You know, like lead and mercury and arsenic and that kind of thing. You see some bandages, different waters labeled from different rivers.
I'm going to take the mercury.
Okay.
I know we're villains and everything, but that is medicine, right?
I need this.
Okay. You building a thermometer?
I need this.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, okay. What kind of lollipops are we talking about, Trev?
Oh, it's all rainbow flavors, but it's the kind where you'd say, like, this tastes red, this tastes green, this one tastes yellow.
I'll get one of those. As long as we're doing grab skis, I'll take a green
one. Any copies of Highlights magazine?
Yeah.
They were downstairs.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Argo, take a grab ski, bud. We're all taking one.
I'll take the, I'll take the arsenic. I'll take some arsenic.
Whoa.
I don't love that.
Well,
what do you got planned?
Well, you never know. Pest problems, vermin. What are the stats on the healing kits? I mean, do they have stats like we had that one D10 HP potion downstairs? Do we have any stats?
Yes. So the kit is a leather pouch containing bandages, salves, and splints. It has 10 uses. As an action, you can expend one use of the kit to stabilize a creature that has 0 hit points without needing to make a medicine check.
We need that.
Yeah, Dunk. You want to hold on to that, Argo?
There
are 3 of them, just so you know.
I mean, it's a hospital. I don't want to steal all of the hospital's supplies. Like,
listen, I'm not trying to make you. I didn't say, and so do it. I just said, here's a statement of fact. There are 3 of them.
Yeah, I like Argo. One of us needs to have one of these, it seems like.
Well, how about if I cram everything from one bag in 3 bags into one bag and take the one bag and basically...
emergency, a doctor says, "Don't worry, guys. I've got my doctor bag," and opens
you were
it and
ready
it's fucking
to, you,
empty.
You were gonna burn it down last week. When did you get so conscious about it?
Well, it's we've done a lot of to burn it down. Now would just make the other stuff we've done so far a fucking waste. So,
all right, I'll take one kit.
Okay, so just to get this straight, the Furbrook took some mercury, and Argo took some arsenic and a healer kit. And then you, Fitzroy, took a lollipop.
A green lollipop,
Oh, let me write that down. Sorry. A green lollipop. Okay. And that is all that is in this room.
Nice. Boys, I may swing back here for another lollipop, depending on how long this takes us.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Okay. Argo is going to stealthfully sneak into room 9.
Ooh, okay. Make a stealth check.
That is 18 plus 8.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's 26, my dude. You sneak in there. You find two imps, and they are looking toasted. Like, perhaps they might have been caught in some kind of extended beam harnessing a celestial body. And they are so busy, like, looking at each other's wounds and kind of... They're taking turns poking each other in the wounds and, like, getting mad and then poking the other one back that they have not noticed you.
Sneak attack!
Now, this is a good... Yes!
This is a good yes! use of sneak attack.
Thank you. What do?
Just make an attack roll against one of them?
Yeah, right. Okay. Sneak attack. That is a 12 plus 6. That is 18.
Yes, that does hit. We'll say that you're aiming for the one on the left. We'll call him Lefty.
Lefty. 2d6 plus 4, right? 3? Oh, I got to roll for the damage.
Yeah.
That's an 8 plus 4. That's 12.
Before you can even sneak attack, he has already taken damage, but you do hit him with just the kind of a free hit. He stabs, bursts into just a water balloon of ichor, bursts. I mean, don't feel bad.
Well, I didn't get to use my sneak attack.
Well, you know, sometimes we all get a little disappointed. And
I have to leave something for the other kids. Okay.
Are we in combat now?
We are now,
I imagine
yes.
that the other one has noticed. Okay, where are we at?
Up next is the imp. So now the imp, having seen, you know, he's kind of frenemy. Like, they weren't close, but they worked well together, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Murdered. He is going to turn on Argo and attempt to sting him with his scorpion-like tail. Oh, I doubt that's going to do it. He rolled a 5 plus 5, so that's a 10 versus your AC. So I doubt that hits.
It's 15, so it didn't.
Ah. Excellent. So now up next, it's once again you, Argo.
Well, how far away is he from me?
He's like right in front of you. He was poking the other. This is the one on the right who we'll call, I don't know, Tor.
And he's pretty beat up?
He's looking toasty. He's one of the ones that took half damage from the moonbeam.
Okay, then I am going to do an unarmed strike and headbutt him.
Okay.
So that's 11 plus 3, that's 14.
That does hit. So it does 2 damage, which luckily for you, that is enough. You headbutt him into a puddle of ichor. And
hey,
if
Argo,
you're wondering,
you
get some in your hair.
Yeah, Argo, you're just kind of trying some stuff out tonight, aren't you?
I'm just really exploring myself. I'm discovering Argo.
Okay, so just like moving forward, how did you feel about the headbutt operation?
Probably a bad choice, because now I've got ichor. But my skin is so naturally... You know, it's always looks like it's kind of covered in water and oily and stuff. Hopefully the ichor will wash out pretty
easy. Yeah, we need to pick a pronunciation of that word and stick with it.
It's ichor.
I was going ichor.
I've always said ichor. All right.
It's ichor. We could go with itcher and just make everyone mad.
Let's not die on this hill. Room 10.
Who is opening room 10?
Let's all. Hey, fam.
Let's get a hand on it.
Okay, great. Everybody roll Dex saving throw.
Shit.
It was supposed to be a nice moment, Travis. Don't take that from us.
Okay.
Oh, damn. 18 plus 2. 20.
Okay, that's a 3 plus 2, 5. But Travis, would you say that I am able to see what we are rolling against?
No.
Oh, okay, then never mind.
Okay.
Okay, 13 plus 6, that's 19.
I have advantage on dex saving throws against effects I can see while not blinded, deafened, or incapacitated.
No, because this is not an effect. So you two dodge out of the way, but Fitzroy, you are caught unawares as two chains come bursting through the door, smashing it to pieces, and you are going to take 11 points of damage.
Okay.
And out walks a chain devil.
Ooh, whoa.
Ha, ha, ha. You fell right into my trap.
I'm sorry, what's a chain devil?
Well, Griffin, imagine a beefy fella with chains all over their body. And the ability to wield chains as weapons. And they're devils.
Okay.
I'm going to do a history check just to see if I can figure out a weak point on a chain devil.
Now, you're thinking about like a famous fable about a chain devil who got like hit in the left knee with a magic arrow.
Had to say his name. He had to say his name backwards.
Right.
I don't know Arco's history.
I doubt this is a history roll.
Roll it. Let the man roll to see about the history of chain devils.
It's a 2.
You don't know shit.
Plus 3, that's 5. What the hell is that? I never seen one of those before.
And let's roll initiative anew since this is a new character here.
That's more like it.
15 plus 2.
I also got a 15 plus 2.
Whoa.
I got a 16 plus 6.
Wow.
My dex is 14, Griffin. I don't know what yours is.
My dex is also 14.
Okay, well, we will stand until the heat death of the universe, waiting for the other one to go.
I think this means we have to take our turns at the same time.
Justin, I'm going to, like a brother, say that last time you got to go first, and so this time Griffin can go first.
Did my 16 plus 6 not equal 22?
You're going first out of everyone, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Griffin's going first between the two of us, he means.
I see.
I would never take that away from you. Okay. So up first is Clint, as the chain devil stands over you saying, ha, 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 this has all been for nothing, you fools. You might have slain my imps, but now I will destroy you.
Argo attacks with two weapon fighting. So he attacks with Florence in one hand and his rapier in the other one.
As we all Google two weapon fighting.
Yeah.
It means he makes a bonus. He uses his bonus action to attack with both weapons at the same time, and you don't add your ability modifier to the damage of the bonus attack.
Got it. Okay, so make two attacks.
Okay, 18 plus 6, correct? Uh-huh.
Correct.
That's 24. And then roll again?
Correct.
Yeah, for your second weapon.
So that is 14 plus 6, and that makes 20. So 24 and 20.
Those both hit. So roll, let's do damage with Florence first.
Now that is 1d8 plus 4.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then plus another 3 because it's Florence.
Yeah, if you expend one of the charges, yes. Which I believe you've already expended one downstairs.
Right.
And it's one per day, or two per day.
So that's a 7 plus 4. That's 11
okay.
plus 3. That hits for 14.
Okay.
And the rapier is 1d8 plus 4.
Well, it's just 1d8. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a bonus.
Okay. Right. So it's a 5.
Okay.
Jesus.
So he swirls around majestically, waving the blades in counterclockwise motion and clockwise motion. So they spin over his head like a helicopter. And then while the chain lord is looking at this awesome spectacle, he jabs them both into him.
And it definitely hurts him, but he, with a lot of bravado, laughs at you as you injure him, saying, "Ha ha, you don't think I can take a couple of stabs from your mortal weapons? Yes, continue to dance for me as you've danced in my machinations for months." Ha ha ha
ha. Oh, okay. Night fever, night fever.
I don't think he was speaking.
Oh, I was speaking metaphorically.
Sorry, metaphoric dancing. Okay.
Up next is Griffin.
talking is free action, right?
Correct.
Okay. For months? What's your machinations? Now that you're about to obviously kill us because you're so big and so beefy and strong, and we are but whelps to you.
I have been behind every mysterious thing that has happened to you since you arrived. It is I, your worst nightmare, Terrence, the chain demon.
I'm going to go ahead and pass on doing an insight check on this, because I don't think that's true.
That's the name that Ian told you. Don't listen to that, dude.
Okay, yeah. It's hogwash. That's hogwash.
What? Oh, no. It has all been part of my master plan, all building to this, the final showdown.
But why? What is... It's a bad plan.
No, it was a good plan.
No, okay, your plan was to make us go to school together, and then some other stuff happened, and then you wanted to kill us in an abandoned hospital?
Why is that? I don't expect you to understand all of the nuance and intricacies of my brilliant plan, but yes.
Why, though? Like, why, though?
Just because.
Okay. Terrence. It's just a big load, isn't it?
Are we going to talk or are we going to fight?
Yeah, I guess we might. Hadouken! And I cast Chromatic Orb from my outstretched palms. A 4-inch diameter sphere of energy goes towards a creature. I'm going to say, since he is wrapped in chains, I'm going to go with lightning energy on this one. And I make a ranged spell attack against the target. That is a big 19 plus 5 is my spell attack modifier, 24.
I mean, that definitely hits.
Yeah, we got that. We got them good rolls today. That is 3d8 damage.
Oh, boy.
Yep, 7, 3, 10. And 6. 16 points of lightning damage.
I'm actually going to say, I think lightning was a good call, so I'm going to give you an extra d6 damage.
An extra d6. 5.
Okay.
So that is, I forget. Well, why was that? I was at 10, 16, 21. 21 points of lightning damage as I sort of literally do a sort of Hadouken shape with my palms, and a 4-inch diameter sphere of lightning energy shoots at him.
Oh, you are a worthy combatant, all three of you. I knew choosing you as my ultimate foes was the right choice. And up next is Justin, the Fearbulg.
I am going to cast Hold Person. So you need to do a wisdom saving throw.
But that is not his strong suit.
This is my assumption, yes.
It is a 14 total.
That's a tie.
Okay, so he succeeds.
Damn.
You try to hold me, the master of chains? Now feel my wrath. And he's going to attack you, Fearbulg.
Mm-hmm.
That's a 17 plus 8, 25.
Jesus.
Wow. Vicious.
Uh-huh.
So I'm dead.
Well, no, that's the attack.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that hits.
And he hits you with 11 points of damage.
Okay, not.
And then his second chain attack
he was going to send out at you, Fitzroy. That is a 4 plus 8, 12 versus AC?
Nope.
Okay. So, Fearbulg, you are now grappled. And until the grapple ends, the target is restrained. So you tried to hold him, but look out. And at the start of each of your turns, you're going to take 2d6 piercing damage. And then you're going to need to make a roll to escape.
Okay.
So thanks. Up now is Clint.
How's your hit points, Fitzroy?
I'm all right.
And Firbolg?
Sorry, I was still subtracting the... I accidentally killed myself with the... So I had to re-add. He looks... But he doesn't look great, but he looks okay.
Okay. How close is Argo to Firbolg?
I mean, you three are all standing together. You are within...
We opened the door together, and we have not moved, so...
Okay, I'm not supposed to ask if I can do things. Argo turns and uses the 1d10 healing potion and gives it to the Firbolg.
Oh, that's nice.
Just kind of smash it on his head.
Well, you pour it between his Firbolg lips.
Yeah. Pour it between his cute Firbolg lips to add 10 points to his health.
Well, 1d10.
1d10. Oh, I have
Does
to roll
Does Dad
it.
Roll that or do
you
I?
You roll it. Let fate be in your own hands.
6. No, wait. Hold on. 9.
Nice. After pouring the potion in the Firbolg's lips and helping him out.
Which is great, by the way, because it's not like he's not unconscious or anything. Like, he's just totally conscious standing there. Zago's just like,
sweet summer child.
Take your medicine.
I'll save
He's going to do cunning action and hide.
Okay, you're going to duck behind one of those tool chests, and that's going to give you some cover. So attacks against you are going to be with disadvantage.
So the healing potion was really to help him last longer as a distraction.
It right? does seem like that, yeah, but it is a very rogue move, and I appreciate sure. it. So up next is Griffin Fitzroy.
I'm gonna rage out. I think any time the party gets like really knocked around, like it instinctively just activates rage mode as I charge towards the chain demon. Which means I roll on the wild surge table.
Whee!
Arcane energy taps into the minds of those around you. Each creature within okay, everybody make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh no.
Oh, great. 1.
Oh boy. The chain devil got a 10 total.
Argo?
15 minus 1, 14.
Okay. Argo's nothing happens, but for the Firbolg and for Terrence, I see a glimpse of the creature's thoughts, learning how it plans to attack you. As a result, the creature has disadvantage on attack rolls against you until the start of your next turn.
Oh, cool.
If I'm in... I don't know if you'd be generous enough to give this to me, but like I'm in Terrence's dome. Like he was, do I see an origin for the like obvious subterfuge that's going on right now?
No, he's mostly at this point just thinking, I'm going to hit him with chains. This is going great. They're totally buying it. That kind of thing.
Okay. All right. Firbolg, what are you thinking about?
I don't like this, how the chains are wrapped around me and I'm entangled. I'm not enjoying it.
So, okay, well then I'm gonna wreck it. And you know what? I'm gonna do a reckless attack. This is a thing I haven't done before. When you make your first attack on your turn, you can decide to attack recklessly, giving you advantage on melee weapon attack rolls using strength during this turn, but attack rolls against you have advantage until your next turn. So I guess this would cancel that thing out. So I'm going to attack with advantage. Thank God, because that's a 2 plus 6 is an 8. That's probably not going to do it.
No.
12 plus 6, 18.
That does hit.
Cool. That is 6.
1.
7 plus 4, 11 plus rage 2. So 13 points of damage as I charge forward and see this thing's thoughts, but don't lose my step as I sort of baseball bat swing it at this guy's dome.
He is looking bloodied.
Good. What's his blood look like, Travis?
Kind of like black ichor.
Okay, cool.
Up next is the Firbolg. To start your turn, go ahead and, I'll do it. I'll do it for you so you don't have to feel like you're hurting yourself. That is only 6 points of damage. Total.
Okay. That ain't great. And now I have to do a roll. What do I roll to try to get out?
Just roll a d20 and you need to do a 14 or better. Strength.
Oh my god, I did a 14 plus 2, 16.
Yes, you break your chains. Somewhere. Fleetwood Mac nods. They knew, they felt it. Fleetwood Mac is the king of a distant land, but you've only heard rumors.
Sure.
Is this, oh my god.
Thank you.
Travis, I shan't. I can't and I shan't.
You will and you shall.
I can't. Is that my turn, or do I get to go?
That's your movement, but you can still attack. Is what I just decided right now without looking anything up.
No, that tracks. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna attack with my shillelagh.
Do it.
I'm gonna do it. 16 plus 6, 22.
That does hit, yes.
4 plus 4, 8 damage.
Okay.
Can you describe it?
He bonks him on the head real good.
Okay,
and
but...
And kind of stars float around as the chain devil kind of grabs his head and goes... Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, in my defense, you literally told us not a half hour ago to be more descriptive.
You're right,
actions,
you're right.
So climb out of my fucking butt.
The Firbolg springs into action, swinging his shillelagh, angered about the chains that once entangled him. The blow connects, making a solid, meaty thunk, perhaps even the cracking of skull. You see the chain devil grasp his head for a moment, disoriented and pained. He takes 8 points of damage.
No, you don't say the last. You are
damn it. You bonk him real good. He is going to swing one of those chains over at Argo, hiding behind, so that will be with disadvantage. That's good, because that would have hit you. 12 plus 8.
Of course
that beats my armor class.
Yes, it does. You're going to take 9 plus 4, the 13 points of damage, and you're grappled. He's pulled you from behind your hiding place. And he's also going to swing another chain back at Fitzroy this time. Let's see. That is 8 plus 8, 16.
Yeah, buddy.
And you are going to take only 8 points of damage.
What type of damage?
It is piercing damage.
Then I
only take slashing damage.
I take 4 points of damage then.
Ooh.
Because you're raging?
Yeah, when I'm raging, basically I take half physical damage.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, Argo, you are grappled, and we are up to your turn. So you're going to roll 2d... Well, I'll do it once again. That is only 5 points of damage. That could be way worse.
Okay.
And now roll that d20 to see if you escape for a strength saving throw.
I have disengaged.
Disengage allows you to move away from an enemy without taking an attack of opportunity.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what.
All right. Am I about to get in trouble? Are you about to ground me?
No. All right. Tell me what I have to roll.
A d20.
A d20?
Get a 14 or better.
That's 18?
Well, yeah.
Okay. I have as one of my actions in combat... I can grapple him.
Oh.
So I'm going to take the chain that I picked up from downstairs and wrap it around his arms.
Okay.
and grapple him.
So you're going to whip it back at him?
I'm going to whip it back at him.
He's okay. The Lord of Chains. He's, he's the Chain Lord.
Make an attack roll plus, let's see, is Argo proficient in chains? Yes, I'm going to say your life on the seas involved a lot of rope and chain work, you know, locking up boxes and chests and crates and whatnot. So I'm going to say you are proficient in chains. So make an attack roll plus your proficiency bonus.
Attack roll, that is another 18.
Jeez.
Plus 2 in my proficiency bonus, that's a dirty 20.
That is a dirty 20. Okay. You grapple him. You wrap him up real good. He now needs to escape that in order to make an attack against you.
And would that not keep him from grappling others?
Well, he can't attack you, so he can't grapple until he breaks his hold. Okay. Up next is Griffin.
Oh, good. Still raging. I can't cast spells unless I click the rage off. So are you like behind him, holding him taut with these chains?
Who, Argo?
Yeah.
Well, I think if he's grappling with him, he wouldn't be behind him, right? He'd have to be in front of him. He's grappling with him while he grapples with him.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to make another reckless attack, just sort of grabbing my maul by the bottom, choking way down on the hilt, and just doing a complete spinning attack, hoping to make contact with him. That's a fucking one, but I have advantage. That is a 17 plus 6. 23.
That hits. Yep.
Plus 4, 12, plus 2, 14.
Okay, he is looking real rough.
Jesus, how much? This is lore of HP, more like.
I mean, and up next is the Fearbug.
I wish this to go no further.
Okay.
And then I cast. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna cast Frostbite.
Okay.
It's a constitution saving throw.
And listen, I'm just going to say, I've been trusting you guys to keep track of your spell slots. You've been doing that, right?
It's a cantrip.
Okay, great.
And yes, also.
Yeah,
yes.
D&D Beyond makes it super easy, too.
That is a 12 total.
No.
Okay, oh.
So you're going to take 1d6 cold damage.
Okay.
But... And that's 4, so not that big of a deal. But you also have a disadvantage on the next weapon attack you make.
Oh, okay.
Oh, neat.
Cool. So you said that was how much damage?
4. I know.
Oh, hey.
Just 4. Okay.
So he is going to first try to break the hold. So we are going to make a contested strength check. Argo, so you roll a d20 and I'll roll a d20 and we'll see who gets the better strength score.
Okay. That's a 19 plus 1.
That's pretty good.
These rolls are fucking crazy.
He got an 18 plus 4, 22. So he wins, but barely. And he pulls the chain out of your hands and breaks free.
I did warn you, he's the Lord of Chains. He's gonna be good at that.
He is going to animate chains.
Oh.
And the chain, any chain the devil can see, up to 4 chains the devil can see within 60 feet, magically sprout razor-edged barbs and animate under the devil's control.
Whoa.
Provided that the chains aren't being worn or carried. Yeah, so that chain, let's see. That is going to attack you, Argo. Turn it right back around on you. That is a 19 plus 8, 27.
That probably hits.
Yeah.
Yes, it hits.
And you are going to take 4, 8, 12 points of damage.
Okay. Argo's dead.
No. Not dead. You're just at zero.
You're unconscious.
He's at zero.
Yep.
Wowzers. This went bad.
So up next, well, would be Argo. So Argo, you're going to make a death save.
So now, do I have to when I have the healing kit?
Well, you're unconscious, so you can't use it on yourself.
Okay. What do I roll?
D20.
What do I have to get?
10 or better is a success. Below 10 is a failure. 3 failures and you're dead.
And if you get a 20, you're healed.
You're back alive, right.
13.
Okay, a success.
Yeah, you mark one success.
Up next is Fitzroy.
Man, how many chains did he animate?
Just the one.
Just the one?
And it's still floating around.
Yeah, but I assume if we kill him, it's going to lose its spunk. So that's kind of my focus right now. I am going to... Does he still have chains around him, like visible chains?
Oh, yeah, he's still swinging chains around. You know, he's got his own chains, and then there's that chain. It's a chain gang.
Okay. I'm going to try and sort of position... Is the second floor, like, overlooking the first floor? Like a...
The stairway, I mean, there's an opening that the stairway came up through, but it's not like
It's not like a terrace?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, all my fun shit was struck down. No, you know what? I drop out of rage as a bonus action.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
Yeah, I think that sort of takes the wind out of me as I see Argo seemingly be killed by a razor sharp chain. So I'm going to try and get over to him, taking an attack of opportunity, and try to get in his bag if I can.
Okay. That's a nat 20. So you're going to take... that wasn't so bad. That's 10... Wait, 18? 18 points total.
I'm glad I said I drop out of rage as I see that, because I lose my half damage ability, and that's going to take me down to 2 hit points. So I dive towards Argo, take an enormous hit, reach into his bag, grab the medicine kit, think about it real hard, about just kind of eating it myself. But no, I'm going to use it to revive
Argo. To stabilize him.
To stabilize him.
Okay, so you don't have to make checks anymore, but I believe you are still unconscious.
How many of those potions did we get downstairs?
Just the one. The rest just of them got broken somehow.
Right, it was somebody's irresponsible action. So I don't have that potion on hand.
Correct.
That was terrible. Okay, that's fine. I'll stick with that.
And now it is Justin's turn. It's the Fearbug's turn.
I'm going to cast Ice Knife again.
Please kill him.
A level 1 Ice Knife this time. That's a... here we go. 19 plus 2.
That hits.
Thank God. And that's 7. 7 damage.
The ice knife plunges into the chain devil's heart. He falls to his knees and said, "Yes, you've defeated me in a worthy battle. Now my plan is completed and you don't need to worry about it anymore.
All right.
You can rest easy now."
Thanks,
my
Terry.
Foes, and just kind of go about your business.
Thanks. Thank you, Moriarty. You are
nothing else.
The adversary
is going to happen. So just chill out. And then he dies.
Okay. Well, the good news is.
Yes. No.
Okay. Well, the good news is we are already in the hospital, which is great. I'm just going to roll that way 10 feet. And tell everybody, all the doctors and stuff, I guess, to come on back in. We got two boys in here who are very sick. And yeah, I guess go share the news, Fearbulg.
As you go outside to try to find some help, you are greeted by the mayor's assistant, who hands you the bags of gold that you were promised, as well as some gift certificates to Springs Eternal, the tavern here in Last Hope. You get a free meal and a free drink and a free trip to their spa and a free bed for the night. You guys can like crash out and rest up.
Does anybody have like a good imp-based pun to kind of... Like, we're not going to match Mission Imp Hospital.
I can give you one.
Yeah, give me. Yeah, if you don't mind.
I think that Terrence guy was an imp pasta.
That's all right.
Do you have another one?
Let me see. I think he behaved pretty impolite.
Yeah, all right.
That's not bad. Could we stay in the Imperial Suite?
Well, that's nothing. No one's ever referred to a suite as an imperial suite.
Yeah. That demon punched me in the stomach so hard, my lower intestine imploded.
That's very good. Fade to credits.
This has been a Travis McElroy Experience. Written by Travis McElroy. Edited by Travis McElroy. Produced by Travis McElroy. Starring Travis McElroy. With Clint McElroy. Guest starring Justin McElroy and introducing Griffin McElroy. Catering by Doug's Pizza and Stuff. No real imps were harmed in the making of this podcast. This podcast was not filmed in Georgia.
Fitzroy, when you enter Springs Eternal to rest up and claim your reward, you see Buckminster Eden sitting at the bar having a drink.
Am I planning on meeting the other two here? I mean, we goofed about like a hospital stay. I don't know how that like
you've
Argo
come back
like
here
he
to convalesce and to heal up. They're going to send the hospital's still not really ready to be occupied. They have to go through and, you know, clean up all the imp leavings.
Yeah.
So they're going to come back here. You assume Argo's probably already asleep somewhere, resting it off. And maybe the Fearbog has gone to commune with nature, but he's not here now. It's just the two of you.
Hey, Buck.
Oh,
did you hear
hello.
Did you hear the big news about the big imp excursion?
Yes, you guys cleaned out all the imps. Very good. Very good. I was hoping I'd run into you.
Yep, well, here I am. How's Trix?
Well, I just wanted to tell you not to worry about the whole thing with Leon. I remember now that he told me he was going to be traveling for a while, so it's nothing, no issue. Don't worry about it.
I'm going to roll an insight check just to see what I can see. That's a flat 17.
You can see that he believes it. But you can also see that his eyes seem just a little less engaged than you would expect about big news like this. And he seems fairly almost abnormally calm about it.
Okay. I see. Oh, that is such excellent news, Buck. That is. I'm glad to hear it. And I put my hand on his back and I want to use my innate sort of detect magic. Because I think that there is something, I think at this point I would know that like there is something going on with him, because I am also pretty certain that Leon is not as he says he is. I guess the school of magic that I would be detecting is illusion, I guess, like hypnosis, some sort of, what would that be?
I think that would be under enchantment, right? Or...
Oh, yeah, that would for sure be enchantment. Yeah. I just want to see if I get any of that stink off of him, but just trying to be, like, kind of discreet as me with my glowing skin can be about it.
As Buckminster turns to order you a drink as well to celebrate your successful imp mission, you lay your hand upon his back, and you can see an aura around his head that is definitely a clear indication of enchantment.
Okay, I take my hand back and just try and tone that down before he can see what's going on.
And he turns back with your drink and hands it to you and says, to the Thundermen and many successful missions to come.
I think for the first time, maybe in my life I'm at a loss for words, and I quietly cheers back.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.